Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Gimel. We're going to finish the Masechet. I just want to go back and review what we did yesterday, starting from the top of Kuf Yud Bet. I'm not going to read everything inside, but we'll follow along on the sheet and we'll review. So, Tanakama said, in we brought a braita. Tanakama said, Hayuba Kodashim, Kodashim is Be'ach Yamutu, Kodashim Be'akabai Yipadu, Trumot Yerkavum, Aser Shani B'Ketveya Kodash Yiganzu. Then Rabbi Shimon says, Behemta comes to exclude, V'lo Behema Bechor Umaser. And Shlava comes to exclude Kesef Hekdesh and Kesef Maser. Now the problem is that it's not a balanced machloket exactly, because Tanakama doesn't relate it all to Behemah Bechor and Maser specifically. So it creates a little bit of a confusion. But the way it works is that the Braita talks about Kodshei Mizbeach Yamutu and immediately asks the question, what do you mean Kodshei Mizbeach Yamutu? Why don't we just say, Yeru Ad Shistavu V'yamachru V'yiplu D'mayim L'Nidavam? We can do pidyon on those coin, on the value, right? You can wait till the animal gets a mum, turn it into money, sell it, turn it into money, and then do Olot Nidavah with that money. So we had two answers given. One was Rabbi Yochanan, who said, this isn't a din of Ir HaNidachat. This clearly has to do with a separate issue. In other words, he says, the issue, really, in theory, you could allow. In other words, if the Kodshei Mizbeach, we assume, are Mamon Gavoa, it means if they're Mamon Gavoa, then they're excluded from the Ir HaNidachat, right? Because the Ir HaNidachat is only the possessions of the people in the city. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right. This isn't a din of Ir HaNidachat. What is it? It's a din of Zevach Rasha'im Toeva, something that a Rasha designated for a korban. We view this as toeva and can't be used. Rish Lakish says, no, this in fact is part of din Ir HaNidachat, and that's why we can't yiruat shistavu. And he distinguishes between kodshim and kodshim kalim. And he says, we're only talking about kodshim kalim. And kodshim kalim, according to some opinions, he goes like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says it's mamon balim. So we have this machloket. Is it mamon balim? Is it mamon gavoa? And that's how do we view it? Are we talking about all kodshim mizbeach? Or are we talking only about kodshim kalim? So that's Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Then in comes Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that behemta comes to exclude b'chor behemah mas, b'chor umaser. Let's just review very briefly what's b'chor maser. B'chor is the b'chor of your animals you bring to the kohen. He sacrifices it in the Beit HaMikdash, which already turns it into mamon gavoha, right? But if it has a mum, then he's allowed to eat it without sacrificing it. Maser is very similar, except that it doesn't go to the kohen. Maser behema is every tenth of your animal. You bring it, it's like maser sheni. You bring it to the mikdash, you eat it in the mikdash. And again, if it ends up with a mum, though, that you eat it, you have to sacrifice it on the mizbeach, and then you eat it. But if it has a mum again, then, again, both these things don't need pidyon, and you immediately can eat them. So now, now the question is going to be, when he excludes, he says, behemta comes to say, you have to destroy all the behemot of the city, but not the behor umaser, according to Rabbi Shimon. So what's he talking about? If it's tamimim, then what do we say? Well, that's shlal shamayim. Of course it's excluded. You don't need a special limud from behemta to exclude it. And if it's balei mumim, well, then it should be burned with the city, because then it's mamon balim. So why do we say that it's excluded? So now we had two answers. Okay, Ravina says, la'olam bebalei mumim, and yet, okay, we're talking about the balmum. Why is it not destroyed, though? He says, because the word behemta comes to include a basic behemta. This behema is eaten in a different way, even though you don't sacrifice it on the mizbeach because it's a balmum, but it's got a bit of a different status. It's not a regular behema. And that's why the behemta comes to exclude it. So really, it shouldn't have been excluded from shlala, so we needed a special pasuk to exclude it. Shmuel says, we're even talking about tmimim. Now again, what was the problem with tmimim? If it's tmimim, then it's shlal shamayim. If it's shlal shamayim, well then obviously it's excluded. So what is he saying? No, because shlal shamayim is only excluding things. There's two categories of shamayim, shlal shamayim, right? Things that belong to God. Mamon gavoa. There's two types. There's the one type, which we saw earlier, which is if something happens to it, like a balmum, you have to do pidyon, and then you can eat it. And this is a lower level, because the behor and the maser, as soon as a mum falls on it, you can just eat it regular without sacrificing it and without doing pidyon. So therefore, since there's no need for pidyon, he says that needs a special limud to exclude it. So shlal comes to exclude regular mamon gavoa that needs pidyon, and this comes to exclude just the shalal, that the korbanot, or not korbanot, but the behemah, the bechor, and the maaser, which don't even need pidyon. That's how we get it. So if you want just a little sikum of each machloket, you can look at the second chart on the page. Because now we have to come back full circle and say, well, what, these were two different things, the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon we're dealing with. So now we're going to do a sikum of the machloket according to Ravina and a sikum of the machloket according to Shmuel. So the machloket according to Ravina's understanding, who thinks that the second, right, the Rabbi Shimon is talking about Baalei Mum, goes like this. Bechor Maser Sheni Baalei Mumim, according to everybody, is Mamon Baalim, according to Ravina. Right? And then, according to Tanakama, again, we're talking about Baalei Mumim. Their machloket is about the Baal Mum. Because Rabbi Shimon, according to Ravina, is only talking about a Bechor Baal Mum. Because Bechor, remember, if it's not a Baal Mum, according to Ravina, what will happen? It's automatically excluded. You don't need a special limud. So according to Tanakama, it would, now Tanakama doesn't relate to this case. But you'd have to assume, since Rabbi Shimon does, that Tanakama disagrees. So let's start with Rabbi Shimon, because we know what that is. Bechor umasir baalei mumim are nitmatumi behema. Right? They're mamon baalim. However, they're excluded because of this word behema, behemta, because it's not a regular behema. Tanakama would say, no, it gets killed with the city, because it's Mamon Baalim. Now, according to Shmuel, the Machloket breaks down into Kochim Kalim and Bechor Maaser Sheni. According to Tanakama, this is at least according to Rish Lakish. Some people say that you can only understand the Machloket according to Rish Lakish's understanding. Some will explain also to Rabbi Yochanan, but I'm not going to get into that. Remember, according to Rish Lakish, Tanakama says it's Mamon Baalim. Okay? Both the Kochim Kalim, which would then be including, right, the Tanakama viewed Bechor and Maaser the same as all Kochim Kalim, because they're part of Kochim Kalim. And therefore, all of them are Mamon Baalim. And therefore, right, Rish Lakish says, if they're Mamon Baalim, then Yamutu, right? They're going to die. What's the story, though? Okay, then I didn't mention this. If they're going to die, they should be burned. No. We let them die because they have a little bit of Kedusha in them, so we're not going to burn them, but yet they should die with all the Shalalah Ir, just in a bit of a different way. Comes Rabbi Shimon, and he says, no, you have to distinguish between Kochim Kalim and Bechor Maaser Sheni. Kochim Kalim need Pidyon, so they're excluded from Shalal, and Mamon Baalim are excluded from Behemta, and he excludes all of them, okay, but for different reasons, right, from different Pesukim. Okay, that was a review of yesterday. Now getting on to today. Trumot Yerkavu, okay? We're now about 20 lines from the bottom, okay? The beginning of the line is Trumot Yerkavu. There's two dots. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela truma biyad Yisrael, aval truma biyad kohen, kevan de mamonehu tisareif. What kind of truma are we talking about? Is the truma in the Jew's hand and he hasn't yet given it to the kohen? Or is it in the hands of the kohen already? The kohen received the truma. So it must be that we're talking about truma biyad Yisrael. Yerkavu has to be left to Rav, because if the Kohen already got the Truma, then what would you say? It's his Mamon and it needs to be burned. But comes Rav Yosef, any questions? It's Mativ Rav Yosef. Masher Sheni v'kit v'hekdesh yiganzu. V'hamasher Sheni b'yad Yisrael k'truma b'yad Kohen dami v'katane yiganzu. So wait a minute. Masher Sheni in the hands of a Yisrael is just like Truma in the hands of a Kohen, right? It's something that has a certain level of Kedusha. You're allowed to eat it in a particular way. And there, and what does it say? Yiganzu. So why should we say that the Truma of the Kohen should be burned if the Maaser Sheni isn't even burned? So Ela Itmar Hachi Itmar. This must be what he's meant to say. Amar Rav Chisda Lo Shanu Ela Truma Biyad Kohen. Aval Truma Biyad Yisrael Tinatein the Kohen should be Ir Acheret. Now it goes in a different direction. He says Truma Biyad Kohen Yiganzu. If the Kohen already got the Truma, since Truma has a Kedusha aspect to it, right? It's Kadosh. We're not going to burn it with the city, so we bury it. But if the Yisrael had the Truma and hasn't even given it to the Kohen, what does he do? He gives it to a Kohen, should be Ir Acheret. Why? Well, it's not considered Shlala, because it doesn't belong to him. If I designate Truma, I set it aside, it's not owned by me anymore. It's owned by a Kohen. The problem is, I can't give it to a Kohen in my city, because, right, it's in Yireni Dachat, so I'd have to give it to a Kohen in a different city. Okay, Tnan Hatam. Isa, now we're going to bring in a different machloket and connect it to here. Isa shel maaser sheni p'tura menachala, divrei Rabbi Meir. The chachamim omrim mechayvin. When you have maaser sheni, what does it say? Mirishit arisotechem. Arisotechem means things that belong to you. But maaser sheni is not exactly yours, right? It's yours, but you're supposed to eat it in your Yerushalayim. It has a different status. So the question is an Isav Maser Sheni Chayav and Chalar or not? If it's, right, if it's not yours, then it's not Chayav and Chalar. Or if it's Kodesh, it's not Chayav. So the question is, Isav Maser Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, it's Patur Min Chala, and Chachamim are Mechayvim. So Amar Rav Chista, Machloket B'Maser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. This depends on, right, the machloket depends on the location. Okay, here's, there's a chart also at the bottom of the page. B'maser sheni b'Yerushalayim, how does it work? To Rabbi Meir Savar, maser sheni mamon gavoa hu. And if it's mamon gavoa, when it's in Yerushalayim, right, it's mamon gavoa. And if it's mamon gavoa, it's basically belonging to God, so to speak. Therefore, you're not chayav. Rabbanan Savar, mamon hedyot hu. He says, wait, but the people eat it themselves. Therefore, we call this mamon hedyot. We keep seeing this machloket between how do we view these things that have kedusha to them, are they mamon gavoa, are they mamon hedyot? Ava bigvulin, but when you're outside of Yerushalayim, what's the situation with your maser sheni? You're not allowed to eat it. It's clearly hekdesh, right? When you get into Yerushalayim and you're already allowed to eat it, so then we could see there's a machloket. But when you're outside Yerushalayim, divrei hakol patur. Everyone agrees that you're patur from taking challah. So now, if you're patur from taking challah, okay, look at the chart. I added this in. This is going to help you for the next part. If it's mamon gavoa, then what would you say about irani dachat? Maser sheni in the gvulin, right? What are we going to say? Outside of Yerushalayim, it's kodesh, meaning it's mamon gavoa. If it's mamon gavoa, it's not going to be destroyed with the city. Now you can see where the problem's going to come in, because Mativ Rav Yosef, what did we say? Maser sheni v'kitvei hekdesh yiganzu. They should be buried. Well, we just said if they're mamon gavoa, they're not part of the shalal. So the question's going to be, where's this maser sheni that we're talking about? B'mayas kinan. Ilema be Yerushalayim. If we're saying that the Irani Dachat was in Yerushalayim, and then, okay, well, then we see at least there's a machloket, Mamon Hedyot, Mamon Gavoa, so you could see that maybe you'd have to bury it. But there's no such thing as an Irani Dachat in Yerushalayim. Mi havi Irani Dachat? Yerushalayim can never become an Irani Dachat. It's an interesting halacha. First of all, it makes sense. If you're going to destroy the city and never, ever rebuild it again, how could you possibly say that about Yerushalayim? V'hatanya saradraim nemru b'Yerushalayim v'zochat mehen, ena nasa Irani Dachat. Okay, that's one of them. If you say you're talking about Maser that was from a different city, but you brought it to Yerushalayim, right? It was the Maser Sheni, you bring it now to Yerushalayim. What did we say? Once you bring the Maser Sheni into Yerushalayim, it can't leave the city. Well, if it can't leave the city, of course you can't burn it. Remember what we learned yesterday. It has to be something that can be gathered into the city. So if you have possessions outside the city, they can't make it into the city. Well, these can't because they're not allowed to leave the Machitzot of Yerushalayim. So therefore, it can't be, right? It can't be from an ir acheret that was brought to Yerushalayim. So what could it possibly be? It must be then, elala, bigvulin. It must be maser sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Vikatani yiganzu, and that contradicts exactly what we said. Because maser sheni outside Yerushalayim is mamon gavoah. If it's mamon gavoah, it's not supposed to be destroyed in the irani dachat. Now the Gemara says, no. Lo'olam di'ir acheret, vaskua lagava. It must be from a different city that was brought to Yerushalayim. To answer the question, but hacha b'mayas kinan shinitma. This actually has nothing to do with the irani dachat. This is maser sheni was brought to Yerushalayim and became tamei. Now what do you do with it? You have to bury it. If it became tamei, you can't eat it, and something you can't eat, you have to bury. So that's what it's talking about. Nothing to do with the irani dachat. So now the Gemara says, v'lifrake, why don't you redeem it? Damar Rabbi Elazar Aminai and Lamaser Sheni Shenitmasha Pudinoto, Afilu Yerushalayim, Tamud Lamar Lotu Chaseito, Vein Seit Ela Achila, Shemar Rabbi Yisama Seot Meid Panav. That was with, I think it was when Yosef gave the food to his brothers. Maseit is food. Maseit is food. Lotu Chaseito means if you can't carry it. But they say not only if you can't carry it, if you can't eat it, you can do Pidyon, which means if you're in Yerushalayim, the Maser Sheni becomes Tameh, you're allowed to do Pidyon. So if that's the case, why Yiganzu? If it really means that we're talking about just Maser Sheni, Shenitma, you should be able to redeem it. So Hacha B'mayas Kinam B'Lakoach. If we're talking about, you took your Maser Sheni, you flipped it onto a coin, you brought it to Yerushalayim, you went to buy food with it, right? You bought something with it, and then it got Tameh. Now that already was redeemed. You can't redeem that again, right? So it's a Lakoach. So now they say, right, Ditnan, Halakoch, bekesef maser shenitma yipadeh. But then they say, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I forgot the first word here. Vilifrike, but even that can be redeemed. Because there's a mission that says, no, you actually can redeem even things you bought. In other words, you can do a double redemption on your Maser Sheni stuff. In which case, right? So what do they say? No, because Ki Rabbi Yehuda Da'amar Yikavir. There's a machloket about Maser Sheni, a lakoch, something you bought from Kesef and Maser Sheni. Are you allowed to redeem it? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't, you have to bury it. So now they explain. So that must be what our Mishnah, what this Mishnah is talking about when it says that, or the Braita, Maser Sheni, B'Kitvei HaKodesh Yiganzu, the Maser Sheni Shenignaz, has nothing to do with the Yerani Dachat, it's Maser Sheni that you brought to Yerushalayim and Nitma. Now the Gemara is going to say, obviously, Iyachi ma'iriyat Yerani Dachat, afilu da'amanami, but then what's this doing in the middle of Yerani Dachat? In other words, this has nothing, it doesn't belong here at all. You wonder why they didn't ask this question in the first place. Ela la'olam b'tahor. So therefore, it's not talking about Maser Sheni Shenitma. It's talking about Maser Sheni that's Tahor. Ukigon dinapil machitza. What did we say? The whole issue was, once it goes into the city of Yerushalayim, right, it came from an Yerani Dachat outside, it went into Yerushalayim, but it's stuck in the city because of the machitza, in which case, of course, you can't bring it back to the city and burn it. But what's the case? The machitza of Yerushalayim fell. Udechidirava, da'amarava. Okay, if you thought the first option was a little out there, right? This is even more out there. Damarava mechitza le'echol de'oraita. The fact that you have to bring it within the mechitzot of Yerushalayim in order to eat it is halacha de'oraita. That's what Maser Sheni is. But liklot, the fact that you can't take it out, is derabanan. V'chigazer rabanan, where rabanan said you're not allowed to take it out of the city, that's only ki eat nihul mechitza. That's only when there's mechitzot up. But ki leit lihul mechitza lo. This is a classic example of they only made exer in a typical case. But in a case where the mechitza fell, you're allowed to take it out, which would mean what? That you could take it out and bring it back to the city to be destroyed, in which case it could, in theory, be burned. And instead of burning it, what do? Yiganzu, because it has Kedusha to it, so you can't burn it, you bury it. Okay, that was a long-winded way to come up to that conclusion. Kitvei HaKodesh Yiganzu. Okay, now we say all the Kitvei HaKodesh in the city have to be buried. Matnitin de lo ke Rabbi Elazar de Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer. Kol ir, here we're going along the same lines as we saw yesterday, trying to narrow the option of actually having an ir miklat. This one's really going to knock it out there. Ir ani dachat, I don't know why I keep saying it. I'm already in mako, where we're going to get to ir miklat. Okay. Ditanya Rav Elezer Omer, kol ir sheyesh ba'afilu mezuzah achat inana seit ir ani dachat. Okay, try to find a city without one mezuzah. Okay, shedemar, why is this? V'sachavta ba'esha te'ir v'et kol shlalah kalil. Lo efshar, lo tasun ken l'Hashem Elokechem. You know what that noise is?
Yeah, it was my phone.
Oh, it's your phone. Okay. Sorry. So, what do we say here? That in, according to Rabbi Elazar, in a city where there's a mezuzah, you can't, and as what does it say? You're not allowed, lo tasun ken l'Hashem Elokechem, you're not allowed to burn Shem Hashem. So if there's a mezuzah, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of Irani Dacha. So our Mishnah must not go like Rabbi Elazar, because our Mishnah says Kitvei HaKodesh Yiganzu, which means that there must be Kitvei HaKodesh in the city. According to Rabbi Elazar, if there's Kitvei HaKodesh in the city, there, you can't even make it in Yerani Dachat. So our Mishnah says, no, 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 it can be in Yerani Dachat, you just don't burn them. Okay, two different approaches. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, look back at the end of the Mishnah. It says here, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Atem Osim Din B'Yerani Dachat, Ma'ale Ani Alechem Ki'ilu Atem Ma'alim Ola Kalil Lefanai. Okay? And then, here's the more important part that they're getting to, which is, there's a machloket by Tatel Olam, Lo Tase Ganot Upardesim Devera B'Yosi Aglili. Okay? If you have a Tel Olam, right? It says it has to be a Tel Olam. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says you can't even make Ganot Upardesim there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo Tivne Od Lekemot Shaita, Aval ena nivneit, aval naaseitu ganotu pardesim. Because the machlok at whether you can actually build fields and gardens, or are you not allowed to build at all? In other words, we mean it has to be a tel olam, it can't be built the way it was before, or it can't be built at all. So, now we're going to talk about this machlok. Lema kid Rabbi Avin amar Rabbi Ilai kam biflegeit. Amar Rabbi Avin amar Rabbi Ilai. Kol makom shata motzei klal ba'asei uprat velo ta'asei, ein otino, ein danino to bechlal uprat. Demar ilei de Rabbi Avin, demar leitlei de Rabbi Avin. Maybe the machloket is about whether they hold by this statement of Rabbi Avin that any time there's a klal uprat, where there's a klal in the asei and a prat in the lo ta'asei, okay, what do we know? There's a klal uprat Iatadan elakeena prat. You have a general and a specific. So we rule it by the specific. What's the pasuk here? Pasuk is Vaitatel olam lo tibane od. So you have the klal in the aseh. It should be a tail forever. And then it says lo tibane od. Now the assumption of lo tibane od is that that's a prat. It means it can't be built again the way it was built before. So if you judge klal uprat, then you're going to say it can't be built the way it was built before, but you can do ganot upradesin. And if you say we don't do klal uprat when you have a klal and an aseh and a prat and a lo taseh, then you would say there is no prat to klal and you can't build it at all. So let's assume that that's the machloket. So then the Gemara says lo. Dekule al me'id luhu de Rabbi Avin. Everyone agrees with him that you can't do a klal uprat here. It's a different machloket here. V'hacha b'hacha miplige. Mar savar od legamre mashma. Lo tibane od means bichlal. Umar savar od lekemosha haita. And the other one understands od as being the way it was before. Eina nivneta val naseti ganotu pardesim. Tanu rabanan. Hayuba ilanot lushim asurim. Mechubarim mutarim. Any trees that were chopped down in that city, right, once you chop down wood, so that's considered wood, it's now your possession and you can, and it should be burned. But if they're attached to the ground, we don't burn them. Why don't we burn them? That's what we saw yesterday. They're mechusar tlisha. Remember? They're just like the hair of the women. You had to cut it first and then gather it. That's not considered. It's considered mechubar. It's not considered possessions that would be destroyed in the Ir Miklat. But shel ir acheret, if it's of a different city, which we don't understand yet what this means, bein tlushim bein mechubarin asur. Whether they're talush or whether they're mechubar, it's going to be asur. So my ir acheret, what are we talking about? I'm Rav Chista. Now we're going to get totally sidetracked. Yericho, dichtiv v'hayta ha'ir cherem la'Hashem. Now it's a weird, you would think it's a weird tangent. On the other hand, what did we say? Hacharem, right? You're supposed to hacharem tacharim, the city of the ir anidacha. Now we're going to bring in Yericho, which was another city that should never be rebuilt again. It's very similar to the ir anidacha. From here we're going to tangent off onto Yericho. So, what does we say about Yericho? Bein tlushim bein mechubarin asur. Even in Yericho, when they destroy the city, right? It can't be any. Even the trees should be destroyed. Okay, when they conquered Yericho, they had to destroy everything. Now we're going to get into this other part of it. If you remember, Yehoshua says at that point, Arur ha'ish lefnei Hashem asher yakumu banat ir hazot et Yericho. Cursed is the person who rebuilds Yericho. Bivcharo yasteno b'tziro yatziv d'lateha. Okay, when he starts to rebuild it, he will. His oldest son will die, and his youngest son will die when he puts up the last part, right, the delet. Now, if you're right, what does this mean? That really all his children are going to die throughout the process. Okay, Tanya, lo Yericho al shem ir acheret, v'lo ir acheret al shem Yericho. Not only is it not rebuilding Yericho and calling it a different name, even. But you're not allowed to build a different city and call it Yericho. How do we know this? Dichtiv, banachi el beta eliet Yericho, babiram becharo yistau b'schuv tziro hetziv delatea. I don't know if you remember this, but in Sefer Melachim, there's a story about someone who actually did this. And the placement of it is going to cause the Gemara to have lots of drashot, so it's very important that you see the placement of this. In Melachim Aleph, it starts talking about when Ahab became king. He follows in his father's footsteps, and he's terrible, and he goes, you know, he marries Izebel, and all these bad things. And then it just tells us this one line at the very end about, in his day, Chiel Beit Ha'eli built Yericho, okay? And his oldest son died when he started, and his youngest son died at the end, okay? And it says, Kidvar Hashem Asher Diber B'Yad Yoshua. The next pasuk is, V'yomer Eliyahu Atishbi Mitoshavei Gil Ad Alachav. Eliyahu comes and appears to Achav and says, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Amadati Lefanav Im Yashanim Ayel Atal Umatar Ki Im Lefi Dvari. Right? Eliyahu comes and says, there's not going to be any rain, and only according to the word of God will there be rain. And then comes this terrible drought, of which, right, it said, the Midrash says that Eliyahu was given three, right, there's three Maftechot of Hashem, Mafteach of childbirth, the Mafteach of Tchiyat HaMetim, and the Mafteach of Gshamim. And the assumption was that at that point, Hashem gave Eliyahu the power of the rain. Now, by the way, we're going to talk about these keys in a few minutes. And the assumption is that he gave it to him. And when God gives him the key, it means God doesn't have the key. And only Eliyahu has the power to bring the rain. Okay, so we're going to talk about this soon. So now, the placement of this pasuk is very strange. It's talking about Achav, and then right after it's talking about Elisha, Eliyahu comes to Achav, and right in the middle is this weird pasuk of, by the way, they built Yericho. Okay, so now the assumption is that Chiel didn't know it was Asur. Why? because what he did was he didn't build Yericho. He built a different city and called it Yericho. Some people say because he wrote Yericho with a hey. The Yerushalmi says because he wasn't from Binyamin. He was not from Binyamin, right? Yericho's in the Shetach of Binyamin. He was from Malchut Yisrael entirely. So what would he be doing building a city in a Shetach that didn't even belong to his, right? He was Yisrael and they were within Malchut Yehuda. It makes no sense. So the assumption is he built a different city. Tanya. Baviram Bechoro, there's a lot of problems with the Girsa here. Okay, Baviram Bechoro Rasha. In the days of Aviram, his son the Rasha, Lo Hayalo Lomod. Bischuv Tziro, according to Rashi, it also says Harasha Hayalo Lomod. When Aviram died, he shouldn't have realized right away, but he should have realized by the time it got to his younger son. In other words, let's say he started building and then his son died. So he didn't realize his son was going to die because he didn't understand it was wrong. But by the time he got to his youngest son, he should have realized. Now the Gemara asks, Aviram uskuv my aviv. They were Rishaim. What did they do? So now they say, no. Hachi kamra. This is the way you should read. Baviram b'choro hayalo lomo lo'oto hasha. In other words, the oto rashachi el should have realized. Baviram shouldn't have realized Baviram, but no. But Beschuv Si'iro, right, that Oto Rasha should have realized, meaning the Rasha is referring to the Chiel and not to his children. Mimash Mashinemar Baviram Bechoro Eni Odesh Beschuv Si'iro. Matamun Lamar Beschuv Si'iro. And it should be obvious, Baviram is before, then Beschuv is the Tzair. So why does it say Beschuv Si'iro? Melamed Shayam Kaver Vaholech Baviram Ba'ad Beschuv. It means that, in other words, obviously he's younger then. It's all relative. But now they're saying, no. He was the youngest, meaning they all died in the interim. Okay, now we get to the story. Achav Shush B'nei Hava. Achav was the best friend, like the best man at his wedding, of Chiyah. Ata Ihu Ve'eliyahu Lemishal B'shlomei Beitamya. They came to the Beit Avel to, right? They came together. Achav and Eliyahu walk into the Beit Avel for Chiyah when he's sitting Shiva for his son. Maybe his last son. Yati v'ka'amra. Dilma kimelat Yoshua hachilat. Maybe when Yoshua cursed them, this is what he meant. Lo yiricho al shem yiracheret, v'lo yiracheret al shem yiricho. And maybe that's why your son died. This is what Achav says. He's only figuring it out now. Maybe that's what he meant. That even if you build a different city in the name of Yiricho. Amar le Eliyahu in. And Eliyahu says, in fact, Achav, you're right. Amar le. So now comes Achav's question. But what if the curse of Moshe never even came true? Dichtiv, v'sartem v'avatem Elohim acherim, right? If you go worship idols, uktiv v'charaf Hashem b'chem, we say this every day, v'atzaret hashamayim, if you worship idols, what will happen? There'll be no rain. V'ahu gavra, and me, myself, okiv le'avodah kochavim, I'll call tell him v'tell him. I put up avodahs there all over the country. Now here's this great line, okay? In other words, not only is it not rain, but has it not stopped raining? But lo shavik le mitra de mezal miskadle. But I can't even, the rain is so strong that I can't even get to all my idols to worship them because the rain is stopping me from getting places. Okay, in other words, there's so much rain. So if the curse of Moshe never happened, levatite Yoshua talmidei mekayima, you think the curse of Yoshua is talmid should become true? In other words, what kind of craziness is this? So miyad, now you see where this is going, and that's why was the story placed right here? It was because Chiel's son died that Eliyahu took away the rain. Miyad vayomer Eliyahu etashbi mitoshavei agilad chai Hashem lokei Yisrael imi yetalu matar v'chulei. So what happens? Eliyahu prays right there in the Shiva house. Okay, if you think bad things happen in the Shiva house, this is of the worst. What does he say? Can I have, right, the key to Geshem? And God gave it to him. V'kam v'azel. And he walked out, and that was it. In other words, and he walks out of the Shiva house, and there's no more rain anymore. Now what happens to Eliyahu? V'yidvar Hashem elav lemor, lech mizeu panita lecha kedma, v'nistarta b'nachal krit. Right, so what happens? God tells him, go hide. This is immediately what happens after. God tells him, go to Nachal Crete, hide there, and the Orvim are going to bring you food. Mehecha, where are they getting the food from? Amar Yehuda Amara, mibeit habchet Achav. Okay, the birds are actually taking the food from the house of Achav, because he was the king. He obviously still had food in his house, and brought them to Eliyahu. Vayhimi ket yamim, vayivash ha-nachal, ki lo yah geshem ba'aretz. Right, so now all of a sudden the Nachal dries up because there was no more rain. Kevan de chazadi katzara ba'alma. When God saw that there was tzara in the world, k'tiv. Now what's the problem? Eliyahu is the one who's supposed to bring the rain, but he doesn't care. He really doesn't care. So what does God want to do? He wants to make him a little more sensitive to the people. So what does he say? V'yidvar Hashem elai lemor kum lech tzarfata. Because right now he was alone. He wants him to see what's going on. Right, so then he goes to stay in this woman's house, and the son of this woman gets sick. Now what happens? Eliyahu becomes a little sensitive to this woman's plight. She's losing her son, and what does he say? I'm going to ask for rachamim, right? So what does he want now? He wants the other key of the tchiyat hametim. So what's the issue now? Can he have the key of tchiyat hametim? What do you think? Amrele, Hashem says to him, shalosh maftecho lo nimsiru l'shaliach. Shalchayat, right? There's three maftechot that don't give in to any shaliach. Shalchayat, childbirth, shal shamim, reigns, shal tchiyat hametim. Yomru shnayim v'yad tamibe, chabiyat arav. Can't possibly be the two are going to be in the hands of the Talmid and only one in the hands of God. God says to him, give me back the key for the rain, and I'll give you the key for tchiyat hametim. Right, so he says, go be seen to Achav, and I will bring rain. And Mapidon, God is bringing rain if Eliyahu, now you have to remember, it doesn't say anywhere in the text that Eliyahu has the power to bring the rain. This is the rabbis came up with this, you know, idea of the key. So then, right, God says, you're going to bring rain. Okay, darash ahu galilai kamei d'Rav Chisda. Now this guy from the Galil darshans before Chisda. Mashal de'Eliyahu lemad davar domeh, legavre de'tarke legalia va'avde lemavteche. He's like a guy who locks the door and then loses his key. Okay, that's Eliyahu. They're bringing this image to mind that he had the key for the rain, but right, and he took away the rain having the key, and then, right, then it wasn't, then he no longer could fix things. Darash Rabbi Yoshi b'Sipori, abe Eliyahu kapdan hava. Okay, now, Rabbi Yossi was darshaning in Tzipori, and what does he say? Eliyahu was a kapdan. He got angry at Achav, and he took away the rain out of anger. That's not a good midah, right? Interesting that, right, some people are very critical these days of criticizing Nevi'im and other things. Here, Rabbi Yossi had no problem saying Eliyahu was a kapdan. Havaragya lemeite gabe. Eliyahu usually came and visited in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi. Ich semine tlata yome. He didn't come for 3 days after he heard what he said about him. Velo ata. Ki ata, when he eventually came, amarle, amaylo ata mar. So Rabbi Yossi says, why didn't you come, Eliyahu? Amarle, kapdan karili. You call me a kapdan. Amarle, ha dekamadika kapi bar. The proof is in the pudding, he says. You just proved it. The fact that you got angry and didn't come for 3 days exactly proved your anger and where it comes from, right? And what you're, and that you shouldn't be so angry because look what you did. Okay, last part for the Masechet. V'lo yidbak b'chamu umam en acherem. Okay, which really was brought for the second part of the pasuk. You shouldn't touch anything from the cherem. Leman yashuv Hashem mecharon apo. Okay, so the God gets right, stops being angry at the people. So what's this anger? So now the Mishnah said, "Kol zman shereshaim ba'olam charon af ba'olam." As long as reshaim are in the world, there's anger in the world. So man reshaim, what reshaim are they referring to? This is very interesting. Amar Rav Yosef Ganvei, robbers. Now you would think, who are the bad people? The anshei yirani tachat that are worshiping avodah zarah. Who are the ganavim that they're referring to? What happens when they gather all the shalal into the middle of the city? It breeds ganavim, right? There's all these ganavim. We're going to take advantage of the situation. Those are the people we want to avoid. And what does this remind us of? The gazlanim that we talked about in the beginning, that they are pasula edud and people who are chasing after money. Okay, tanu rabanan, rasha ba la'olam, charon af ba la'olam. Okay, when bad evil comes to the world, right, people say, what do you mean? When he's born? No. It doesn't mean when he's born, because most kids aren't born Rasha'im. It means when someone starts doing bad things, anger comes to the world. Shneimar, bevo rasha bagam buz va'am v'kalom v'cherpa. Rasha ava min ha'olam, when the rasha leaves the world, tova ba'al olam. Goodness comes to the world. Shneimar, v'avod rasha'im rina. Tzadik niftar min ha'olam, ra'a ba'al olam. This sounds like Pirkei Avot, right, where they give all the different options. A tzadik leaves the world, evil comes to the world. Shneimar, atzadik avad ve'ein ish samalev, anshei chesed nesafim ve'ein mevin, ki mipnei hara'a ne'asaf atzadik. The assumption is, and this relates to a bunch of things we saw in the parak, that when the tzadikim leave the world, they're leaving the world so that God can bring the bad. We saw this with Metushelach. He was waiting for Metushelach to die before he brought the Mabul. So when tzadik leaves the world, you know something bad's going to happen. Tzadik ba'al olam, tova ba'al olam. On a very high note, we end. Shene'amar, zeh yinachamenu mima'asenu mi'itvon yadenu. Hadron lach ha'yishar yesh lam chelek, uslika la masachet Sanhedrin. Just a quick word, because Mike's going to speak and I want to have time for that. But I think the Masechet's ending with Rasha'im and Tzadikim, V'tzdiku et ha-tzadik, V'rishiru et ha-rasha, the whole judgment, the system of judgment is to put Tzadikim and Rasha'im in their place, and it's kind of ending with that theme. Okay, Hajjan alach Masechet Sanhedrin, everybody have it? Hadran alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'hadra chalan. Da'at han alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'da'at ha'chalan. Lo n'ashem inach mesechet Sanhedrin v'lo t'nashem inan. Lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Hadran alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'hadra chalan. Da'at han alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'da'at ha'chalan. Lo n'ashem inach mesechet Sanhedrin v'lo t'nashem inan. Lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Hadran alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'hadra chalan. Da'at han alach mesechet Sanhedrin v'da'at ha'chalan. Lo n'ashem inach mesechet Sanhedrin v'lo t'nashem inan. Lo ba'alma hadem v'lo ba'alma da'ate. Yehi ratzon lefanecha Adonai Eloheinu v'lehev Tenu shetei toratcha umanutenu ba'olam hazeh tei manu la'olam haba. Hanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachum bar papa, Achai bar papa, Abba Mary bar papa, Rafam bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Surcha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Daru bar papa. Harev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei toratcha b'pinu fiviyat amcha be'Yisrael v'niyeh kulanu anachnu v'tzatzeinu tzatzei amcha be'Yisrael kulanu yodei shemecha v'lamdo toratecha. Me'ovai techachmeni mitzvotecha ki la'olam hi li. Yehi libi tamim b'chukecha l'man lo ebosh, la'olam lo ashkach b'chudecha, ki bam chiyitani. Baruch ata Adonai l'mdeni chukecha, amen, 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 selah. Yehi ratzon panecha Adonai Elohai, k'shem shazotan l'seyem mesechet Sanhedrin, k'en te'azreni la'atchil mesechtot u'sparim achirim, u'saimam l'mod u'l'amed, l'shmor v'l'asot u'l'kayem akol d'vrei tamud toratecha b'yaba. U'zchut kol ha'tanaim ve'amoraim v'tamidei chachamim yamod li u'l'zari, sh'lo yamush Torah mipi zari v'zera zari ad olam. ותתקיים בי בתהלכך, תנחה אותך, בשוכבך תשמור עליך, בקיצות ההיא תזכרך. כי יברו ירומך ויוסיפו לך שנות חיים. ברוך ימים בבינה, בשמאלה ושבכבוד, אדוני עוז לעמו ייתן, אדוני יברך את עמו בשלום.